WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The HBO prison series Oz has started its second season. Oz is short for Oswald Maximum Security Penitentiary, the fictional prison in which the series is set. The program is about the lives of prisoners and correctional officers in the experimental unit of Oz, known as Emerald City. Most of the prisoners in Emerald City are violent, sadistic, and psychologically damaged. A good example is the neo-Nazi Vern Schillinger, played by my guest, J.K. Simmons. Early in the first season of Oz, the neo-Nazi psychologically tormented his new cellmate, a young lawyer, and turned him into a sex slave. In this scene, the neo-Nazi, Schillinger, has stolen his cellmate's family photos and is using these photos to further intimidate the scared newcomer.
You've got a lovely family. I'm amazed you haven't showed me these pictures before. Amazed and a little hurt. I hope you don't mind me finding these hidden underneath your mattress. Beautiful. My wife is dead. But I've got two sons. 17 and 16. Handsome f***ing kids, too. Good Aryan stock, you know? My sons are devoted to me. I am an icon to them because I went to prison for my beliefs. They would do anything I asked them to. Steal, maim, kill. Maybe I should have them go visit your family. Huh? Just a little friendly call? What do you think? My sons and your wife. My sons and your daughter.
More recently on Oz, Schillinger's now former cellmate, the once scared newcomer, has become hardened and has exacted his revenge on Schillinger. Schillinger is figuring out what his next move will be. J.K. Simmons' chilling portrayal of the white supremacist is so good, yet we had never noticed him before, and very little has been written about him, so we invited him to Fresh Air. J.K. Simmons, let me ask you to describe your character of Vern Schillinger on Oz.
He's the leader of the Aryan Brotherhood, and in the maximum security prison, which is, of course, a neo-Nazi organization. He's a prisoner in for longer and longer, as it turns out. And one of the main relationships I have is with another prisoner, and he and I have sort of gone back and forth in this dominant, submissive, torturous relationship.
Yes, well, early on, when this other character whom you refer, who's a lawyer who was imprisoned for drunken driving, in which he accidentally murdered a child. Anyways, you made him your sex slave early in Oz.
I did indeed. I made him my lovely wife.
Yeah, I'm wondering what it was like for you to play this sadistic neo-Nazi who takes this young lawyer, makes him his sex slave.
Oh, it was pretty fun. You know, it really actually is just as bizarre and twisted and sick as much of what we do on the show is, and of course as much of what happens in a maximum security prison actually is. It's sort of like that, you know, like a MASH unit. We really have a great time, and we keep referring to the jokes and, you know, oh, and this joke is, you know, really going to work, where I tattoo his rear end. That'll be, you know, funny, because
with a swastika, I might add.
Yeah, with a swastika, sort of, you know, leaving my mark. It really is just a good time. It's a bunch of really wonderful actors working with Tom Fontana's words, and we're all just so happy to be there that that no matter how dark the stuff is that we're doing, it's just I guess it's kind of a release in a way, getting that stuff out in a safe way, and we just have fun.
I thought one of the high points of the first season was when your character, the neo-Nazi, got your sex slave to perform at, I guess it was the talent show or something, with lipstick on, singing, "I Got It Bad and That Ain't Good."
Yeah, we were actually originally Tom wanted that to be Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but for some reason they didn't want to give him the rights. So and I was all prepared with my. I don't think it was a little Oz joke, wasn't it? Yeah, right. I was all prepared with my "I don't think we're in Kansas anymore" ad lib, and then they had to change it. But "I Got It Bad and That Ain't Good" was, you know, a pretty good second choice, and Lee pulled it off pretty well.
Who chose the song?
Tom. Uh-huh. Tom Fontana, our erstwhile leader.
Now, what did you bring to the character in terms of research? Did you feel like you had to hang out with brothers of the Aryan Nation or go to prison and see what life was like inside? Did any of that seem necessary to you?
No, frankly. And it's also not as available to us working schmucks as it would be if I were Robert De Niro. It's not like I could just call the prison and say, "Hey, I'm J.K. Simmons. I want to come live with the prisoners for a few days." But I did do, I actually did, the research that I did do was mostly on the net, you know, checking out some Aryan websites and just getting, trying to get an idea of their philosophy and how they state it so that I could have some kind of place to come from. And that was one of the things that Tom and I talked about between the first and second seasons was trying to get more into a little bit of the politics and relating my character with some of the other characters in the Black Muslim and some of the other characters in the show.
Now, the way you play the character of the neo-Nazi on Oz, there's always this veneer of solicitousness. You always make it seem as if what you're doing is for everybody's larger good, and you're a
veneer.
Real understanding kind of guy.
Vern's a sweetheart.
Well, that's how he sees himself. That's how he projects himself as he's, you know, doing some very sadistic thing to you.
Yeah, you know, my general philosophy of playing bad guys, which I've sort of done, you know, half the time, is, you know, very few people who we view as bad guys get out of bed and think, "What evil, terrible thing am I going to do today?" Most people see their motivations as justified, as, you know, justifying whatever they do, and that's what I try to go with.
Do you get any letters from members of neo-Nazi groups who have strong opinions about your portrayal of a neo-Nazi?
I haven't. I have had a couple of people come up to me on the street, but the only two people who came up to me and were sort of a little confused about the line between, you know, drama and reality were people who sort of agreed with the philosophy of Vern Schillinger and came up to me and said, "Oh, hey, you're that guy in that show Oz." And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Hey, man, I dig what you're saying, you know, that's, you know." And I sort of try to go my merry way as quickly as I can, because that's scary on two different levels. First of all, that, you know, that there are a lot of people who agree with that philosophy out there. And second of all, that it's only a play, you know.
You're right.
We're just pretending.
My guest is J.K. Simmons, and he plays the neo-Nazi Vern Schillinger in the HBO prison series Oz, and it's set in a maximum security prison in the experimental wing. Do you work out either just for your own fitness or for the fitness of the characters you play?
That's a good question. I weigh 47 pounds less right now than I did when Vern Schillinger was butt naked in the solitary confinement cell. I really had always taken pretty decent care of myself and been in, been an athlete and been in pretty good shape. And just the last few years, I think, as a combination of being in my 40s and being, reasonably comfortable and being able to eat whatever I wanted, I put on a lot of weight, and when I started playing Vern, a very tough, intimidating character, you know, the first season as I watched the show, I just found myself thinking, who is the fat guy trying to act tough? And that was really part of my motive. I mean, you know, that along with, you know, wanting to be healthy and be able to
continue playing softball and be an athlete and, you know, live a long life and all that. I've really, in the last year, gotten very healthy again, and I get my butt to the gym every morning and eat more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff and all that. And actually, during the course of the second season of Oz, during the 12 or 14 weeks that we shot, you'll see Vern drop some weight between the first and the eighth episodes, and then I've dropped most of the rest of the excess in the meantime. So I'm campaigning for Tom to write me another nude scene next season so we can see, oh, Vern must have been in the hole for a long time because he lost some weight.
Yeah, you and all the characters, after they're thrown in solitary naked, look so vulnerable. And it's, you know...
I felt very vulnerable.
It's interesting, you know, because you're such an intimidating character, and then, you know, there you are, stripped naked, lying on the floor of a dark cell,
right?
Kind
and that,
of, in a fetal position, looking very vulnerable.
Yeah, that was also at a time. I mean, I think there are, if I had been thrown into the hole at other times, it would have been less vulnerable and more angry. But you know, that was also a time when I had just been thoroughly beaten, figuratively, by Lee Tergesen's character, you know, and so I was vulnerable on a number of fronts. My power had really been pretty much yanked away.
My guest is J.K. Simmons, and he's now co-starring in Oz, the prison series on HBO. Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is J.K. Simmons. He plays the neo-Nazi inmate Vern Schillinger on the HBO prison series Oz. Oz was the first time I actually noticed you. I actually realized, well, who is this guy? He's really great. Let me find out more about him. And I'm wondering, where were you before that?
At the Big Fork Summer Playhouse in Big Fork, Montana, doing musical theater. Which is where I started out in when I was in college in the 70s in Montana. And I bounced around doing regional theater all over the country for a lot of years. And when I finally got things going in New York, it was all on stage also. I did several Broadway shows and really just 3 or 4 years ago started doing television and film and things that people might actually recognize me from.
Now, why did it take so long for you to break into television and film?
Well, because I was, at first, when I started doing this, I just thought it would be kind of a fun thing to do. I never had any intention of coming to New York or L.A. and actually doing more than scraping by, you know, doing plays. And as my career sort of progressed of its own volition, I did come to New York, I did Broadway shows, and I started realizing that this is actually how I'm going to make my living, so maybe I should try and do television and film and make a better living and get an occasional residual check so I can pay a mortgage someday. And, you know, I went shopping around for agents who I thought could help me more with those kinds of jobs. And I ended up in a big hit Broadway show, the revival of Guys and Dolls, a few years ago, which... all of us in that show ended up getting a lot of attention, and that helped sort of launch other aspects of our careers.
Now, I saw that revival on Broadway, and I guess I saw you and didn't realize it at the time because I hadn't yet seen you in Oz.
I played Benny South Street,
so you
Nathan's right-hand guy.
So you get to sing in the oldest established permanent floating crap game in New York.
Mm-hmm. And I sang the title song,
Guys and Dolls,
with Walter Bobby. And I sang the Fugue for Tin Horns. I got the horns right here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, it was a great job. It was a great, fun show.
I think we should hear you sing. So why don't we play something from the cast recording of the recent Broadway revival of Guys and Dolls.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to make me sing live, and I didn't warm up.
So let's see. You've said you're on Fugue for Tin Horns. Why don't we play the part that you sing on the song, or one of the parts that you sing?
I'm thinking Valentine, cause on the morning line, the guy has got him figured at 5 to 9. But look at Evan's hat, he wears it by a half, according to this here is a telegraph.
For ball repair out bite, I hear his foot's alright, of course it all depends if it rained last night.
I know it's Valentine, the morning marks look fine, besides the jockey's brother's a friend of mine. And just a minute, boys, I got the Phoenix noise, it's like his great-grandfather was terrible poise.
I tell you, Paul Revere, now this is no bum steer, it's from a handicap, but that's real sincere.
I go for Valentine, cause on the morning line, the guy has got him figured at 5 to 9. So make it epitaph, he wears it by a half, according to this here is the telegraph. Epitaph,
Valentine,
Paul Revere,
I got the horse.
What a great score.
Yeah.
So have you sung a lot on stage?
Yeah, I actually, I was a musician in college, a composer and singer, and really intended to be the second coming of Leonard Bernstein when I got out. But I sort of segued into doing musicals and then into all aspects of theater and then into a maximum security prison.
A natural progression.
Sure.
Now, it's interesting, while you're getting known as the neo-Nazi on Oz, your brother David Simmons is becoming known as a Christian performer.
He is indeed.
It's an interesting contrast.
We're really not that different.
So how is he doing in his career in Christian music?
He's doing great. He has a CD out. The CD is called UBU, as in the letters UBU. And he has a website and everything, UBU Music, and it's a great CD. It has all original songs that David wrote the music and lyrics and did most of the playing for, and I don't see him enough. And David, I love you, man. He listens to NPR.
Is there anyone among your friends and family who you would rather not have see you on Oz?
Well, the ones that I would rather not have see me on Oz choose not to watch Oz anyway. Most of my dad's family in rural Illinois, would completely disapprove not only of the content, but some of the language. And I certainly respect that. And, they see me in my more G-rated kinds of things. And I was actually, during the first season especially, where I guess I was, as my wife said, bringing it home with me, she found it difficult to watch. I think she said something like, it was airing at 11 o'clock at the time, and she was doing a Broadway show. So she would get home just before the show would be on, and after the second episode, she said, "So I'm supposed to come home from work, watch this with you, and then get into bed with you?" I don't think so. So she actually kind of stopped watching during the first season, but she is watching it with me again now.
Can I ask what your brother, the Christian musician, thinks of your role as the neo-Nazi and of the kind of language you have to use on the show and the kind of extreme circumstances your character is in?
He thinks it's a reflection of the reality of prison life and the world today. And I don't think that he's got his 7-year-old staying up to watch it, nor do I think anyone should. David and I really come from, obviously we grew up together, but the same background even professionally. You know, he started out doing theater. We did musicals together at the Big Fork Summer Playhouse in, the 70s. And despite him being 4 years younger, he played my father and my father-in-law because he was slightly portly at the time and could grow a good beard. These are just the divergent paths that our careers have taken. We are ultimately not that different, and certainly philosophically and politically and spiritually and all of that, we're much more in accord than you might think based on the work you see us do.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
J.K. Simmons plays the neo-Nazi inmate Vern Schillinger in the HBO prison series Oz. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.